From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. South Carolina residents are bracing for the possibility of more flooding from the record rainfall. Blamed for at least 15 deaths there and two more in North Carolina. NPR's Tim Fist Simmons is in Columbia, which remains under state of crisis.
Across Columbia, fire and medical crews raced from emergency to emergency. Overturned trucks, crumbling bridges and roads. Around midday, a body was pulled from one of the lakes. Dams have been failing in the storm, sending water rushing through neighborhoods. Several counties across the state remain under boil water notices due to contamination fears. Skies have cleared and no rain is forecast for several days. Officials are starting to reopen major roads. Jeanette Beck was outside in Columbia to survey the damage. It's bad, but she predicts the state will get back on its feet soon.
Oh, yeah. We're South Carolina.
Tim Fitzsimmons, NPR News, Columbia, South Carolina.
Employers in California are now required to pay women the same wages as men for substantially similar work. Governor Jerry Brown calls the bill he signed today one of the strongest equal pay laws in the nation. Capital Public Radio's Ben Bradford has more.
Phyllis Gould is one of the original Rosie the Riveters. In 1942, she welded boats for the war. Today, she sat in the audience to watch Brown sign the equal pay law.
It's high time.
California currently requires equal pay for equal work at the same establishment. The new law broadens that to substantially similar work, full stop, and it prohibits employers from retaliating against employees who discuss their wages. State Senator Hannah Beth Jackson sponsored the bill.
It is my hope that the other 49 states will take heed, will take a look at what we're doing here and use it as a template.
A recent nationwide study finds a gap of more than 20% in the median wages of men and women working full-time. For NPR News, I'm Ben Bradford in Sacramento.
President Obama is sounding optimistic that Congress will approve the free trade agreement between the U.S. and 11 other Pacific Rim nations when it comes up for a vote next year. Mr. Obama tells APM's Marketplace that American workers stand to benefit significantly from growth in the Asia-Pacific region.
We started this 5 years ago with the basic proposition that the Asia-Pacific region is the most populous, fastest-growing region in the world. And since 95% of the world's markets outside our borders, we got to make sure that we're selling in other countries goods made in America.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has cited what he called some troubling parts of the deal. Unions call it a job killer. The U.S. trade deficit rose 15.6% in August, when the Commerce Department says exports of U.S. goods and services fell to a three-year low. Economists are pointing to a slowing global economy and the rising value of the dollar. This is NPR News. The United Auto Workers Union is threatening a strike at Fiat Chrysler. Union members at plants in Michigan and Indiana have overwhelmingly rejected a proposed four-year agreement. Their current contract expires at midnight tomorrow. The UAW is calling for an end to a two-tier pay system, restoration of cost of living raises, and guarantees that new vehicles will be produced in the U.S. The U.S. Census Bureau has unveiled its new plan for counting the country's population in the year 2020. As NPR's Cheryl Corley reports, census officials say they'll conduct the count with fewer people, reducing the cost by more than $5 billion.
It's 5 years away, but the Census Bureau's been preparing for the 2020 count for years. Associate Director Lisa Bloomerman says the census is ready to face obstacles like a decline in the rate of people returning surveys and other challenges.
We know that the number of people that don't speak English as a first language has grown. We know that the United States is a very mobile population. Those factors have implications for our census design.
Bloomerman says the census will continue to canvass the entire nation, but will do it differently. For example, administrative records will help identify vacant buildings. The Bureau also plans to use 300,000 trained enumerators in the field, half the number used for the 2010 census. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
More than 5,500 U.S. prisoners are set for early release next month as part of an effort to reduce prison overcrowding and costs. The Justice Department estimates around 40,000 nonviolent, mostly drug offenders could benefit from the program in the years to come. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News in Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.